Yeah, as Jim mentioned, we do have a cake downstairs. It's a big cake. We need help eating it. Unfortunately, guys, if you probably noticed, I think I got your name spelled wrong on there. It's a broken world. It's you know. okay. This thing twist? I guess not. We'll live with it. Okay, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for today. We thank you that you have brought our good and dear friends, the Gazaldos, back to us safely. And Father, we pray that in everything we can do today, we can proclaim your truth and to honor you. So we pray that your presence would be with us, that you would open up our hearts, the eyes of our understanding. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we're in week three of a series that got started in Jude 1:20. The verse says, "But you must build each other up in your most holy faith." So to try to catch you up, in case you were somewhere else, like Hawaii on a honeymoon, anybody? No, he's not paying attention. or maybe you were in Africa for a year or two. We looked at this verse, and the issue was Jude was saying, hey, the early church, you guys have got issues with false teachers coming in here. You've got to watch out. Here's what to look out for. And to guard yourself against these false teachers, you need to build each other up in your most holy faith. Now, that's all well and good, but Jude didn't tell us what our most holy faith was specifically. So we went to the letter to the Colossian church, and in there, Paul calls that church back and says, listen, here is what is foundational for you. This is what your Christian faith is based on, the supremacy and the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. So we began talking about this. We began to look at Jesus as the visible image of the invisible God. We can look at Jesus and we can know what God is. And we see that Jesus is merciful and compassionate and filled with love for us. Then last week we looked at how Jesus is the ultimate. He has all power. And that we can see that power at work in our lives and in the lives of our community if we trust him. So today I want to talk about how Jesus has reconciled all things to God. He has reconciled us to God. He has also reconciled us to each other. And I want to see what that looks like, especially in our relationships with each other. Now, a kind of a standard dictionary definition of reconciliation is to reestablish a close relationship. So there's the implication there that there was a relationship, but that now it's broken. But reconciliation involves a lot of things. And I just want to say this, it's more than just forgiveness. You know, if there's a break in my relationship with you, you can forgive me, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the relationship is restored. Forgiveness is a beginning, but it isn't really the full enchilada, so to speak, of reconciliation. So an example might be helpful here to get us to understand what it looks like when a relationship goes bad and that there is a need for reconciliation. So I want to play a short clip from a television show that was on in the early 70s. And it may be hard to believe this, but at one time this show was considered very cutting edge and risque. It was called All in the Family. let me set it up for you. We've got a main character, the head of the household, Archie Bunker. At one time, Archie had a gambling problem. And he promised his wife, Edith, that he would never gamble again. And so for a time, there was peace in the family, and everything was going okay, until one day the phone rings. We could go ahead and run that clip.
Oh,
Now that may be somewhat of a humorous example, but it contains all the elements of what happens when there's a break in a relationship and reconciliation is required. The first thing that happens is that there's deception that enters into the relationship. And then as that deception enters in and is discovered, trust is broken. And soon after that trust is broken, things start to fall apart quickly. We saw here violence erupted almost immediately. And now the two people need to be reconciled to one another. There's more than just forgiveness that's required here. And so it is with God and His creation. When we look at the book of Genesis, it talks about how in the garden, God walked with men and women. That implies a close, intimate relationship. We read how men and women were naked and unashamed in front of each other. That's more than just physical nakedness. That's emotional nakedness. That is spiritual nakedness. We had nothing to hide. Our intentions were good. But one day, humans were deceived by the enemy of God, Satan. And through that deception, we began to attempt to deceive God. And then our relationship with God was broken. And then our relationship with each other was broken. In fact, even our relationship with creation itself was broken. Out of those broken relationships come all the ills and the evils of this world. The injustice, the poverty, racism, war, and corruption. Fortunately, God had a plan. God had a plan of reconciliation, and at the center of that plan was Jesus Christ. That brings us to our passage out of Colossians today, Colossians 1:19 through 22. For God in all His fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through Him, God reconciled everything to Himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you, who were once far away from God. You were His enemies, separated from Him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now, He has reconciled you to Himself through the death of Christ in His physical body. As a result, He has brought you into His own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before Him without a single fault. Holy and blameless. That is our status now before God. It's like in the garden again, naked and unashamed. Now that's the spiritual reality. And as Dan mentioned, we live in that time between the ages. And so the fullness of the kingdom of God has not come in yet. And so we only see in partial. So even though the spiritual reality is that now we are reconciled to God, we don't see the fullness of that yet. And so a lot of us try to reconcile back to God on our own. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. You have died with Christ, and He has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of this world, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? Such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion or pious self-denial or severe bodily discipline, but they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. Only the Spirit of the living God within us can conquer our evil desires. We can't fix ourselves by our good behavior. We can't reconcile ourselves to God by the things that we do. We need Jesus. That's why God sent Jesus to make peace with us through His death on the cross. The point I really want to emphasize in all of this today is this. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we are now one people that have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. You know, we used to have to communicate with God through a priest. We used to have to communicate to God through a ritual or a sacrifice. But now, because of Jesus, we have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. He has broken down the barriers of communication and fellowship and relationship between us and God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. It says, "For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law and its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now, all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us." Here Paul paints this beautiful picture of us, the church, the people of God, united to the Trinity. Now, we can go to God in confidence. We can go to him in confidence knowing he hears us. We can go to him with our fears. We can go to him with our problems. We can go to him with our hopes and our dreams, knowing that God hears us. And more than that, it's a two-way street. Now we hear from God too. That means if you think you're hearing from God, well, you probably are. As one of the friends of our church always likes to say when he comes here, God is much more interested in talking to us than we are to listening. But we get more than this. More than just our relationship with God restored, we get our relationships with each other restored. Jesus has broke down the barriers between people. Because of that, we are now united as one people through the Spirit. The barriers and categories that used to divide us, race, class, and gender, have been done away with by Jesus' death on the cross. The great commandment is to love God and to love your neighbor. And that is possible now through the Spirit. Let's go to Galatians. It says, "For you are all children of God through faith in Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on the character of Christ, like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." You know, Paul didn't pick these three categories here at the end out of a hat. Race, class, and gender have been used for too long to divide us. They have been used by us to oppress one another. And they've been used to institutionalize and perpetuate patterns of sinful behavior. But because of Jesus, because we are one people in the Spirit, it doesn't apply anymore. Race is no longer a barrier. It used to be that if you were a different color or a different tribe, I looked at you with distrust. I looked at you with suspicion. I looked at your culture as inferior. But now, that's no longer true. Now, race is an opportunity for us to celebrate diversity. It's an opportunity for us to celebrate the gifts of God. And class is no longer relevant in the kingdom. I may be a free man, but I'm a slave to Christ. You may be a slave, but you have great freedom through Christ. I may be wealthy, but I lay down my riches for the sake of the kingdom. You may be poor, but you have immeasurable riches in Christ. Now, we'd look at class as an opportunity to bring us together. If you have needs, I help meet your needs. And from the poor, we learn humility. We learn how God supplies our needs. And in the kingdom, gender is no longer a barrier. gender is no longer a way that we use to oppress one another. What matters now is the gifting by the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit has gifted you to preach, if the Holy Spirit has gifted you to speak words of prophecy in the church, no matter what your gender is, and I'll include this too, no matter what your age is, who am I to stand in the way of that? It's no longer about what the flesh looks like. It's about what has the Holy Spirit gifted us to do within the church. Now, I know these categories still exist. I'm not advocating for colorblindness or communism or a unisex world. What I'm saying is the barriers have been broken down. We no longer use these things as tools to divide and oppress. What the Bible is saying to us is that we no longer draw our primary identity from our race, our class, or our gender. We draw our primary identity as people of the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that trumps everything now. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. I know there are many of us, myself included, who at one time in their lives looked at Christ from a human point of view. He was a good teacher. He was a great man. Great moral platitudes. Hopefully now we look at him differently. Hopefully now we see him as the incarnation of God here on earth. Hopefully now we see him as the one who has all power, all authority. Hopefully now we see him as the Savior of the world. We can be guilty of doing the same with each other, of evaluating each other from a human point of view, looking at each other through filters of class, of gender, of race. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. We are people now of the Spirit. What should our response be to this? Let's continue in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Come back to God. That's the message that we are to deliver to the world. We need to take this message of God is now for us, he is with us, and we need to take it to all people. All people, because God wants his whole creation reconciled to him. Because of Jesus, God is no longer our enemy, and we are no longer enemies to each other. We've been united, and we've been gifted through the power of the Holy Spirit. But more than just speak words of reconciliation, we need to live lives of reconciliation. We have to stop looking at people through the old ways and start looking at them the way Jesus looks at them. We need to start looking at each other with compassion and mercy. That's the way Jesus looks at us. That's the way God looks at us now. Not through the old ways, but through the new ways. Jesus died on a cross to bring peace. But more than just to bring peace, he died so that we could be reconciled and united through God's Spirit. Please rise. Before we close, I just want to say that if there's anybody here that feels they have not been reconciled to God through Jesus, I would just ask that you would consider today the day of your salvation. We will have prayer ministers up here after the service. Please come up and receive prayer. Now, a lot of you know me, know I can be very idealistic and big picture, but I also understand the realities of this world. I know that until Jesus comes back again, we will never see complete peace. We will never see complete justice. We will never see full reconciliation. But yet God has placed this idealism, this goal of reconciliation here and now in the hearts of his people, and we need to respond to that. So in that light, I want to leave you with an old Franciscan blessing. May God bless you today with a restless discomfort about easy answers and half-truths and superficial relationships, so that you may seek truth boldly and love deeply within your heart. May God bless you with a holy anger at injustice and oppression and exploitation of people, so that you may work tirelessly for justice and freedom and peace among all people. May God bless you with the gift of tears to shed at those who suffer from pain and rejection, from starvation and loss, so that you can transform their pain into joy. And may God bless you today with just enough foolishness to believe that you really can make a difference in this world, so that you are able, with God's grace, to do what others claim cannot be done. May the blessing of God the Father, Jesus Christ our Savior, and the Holy Spirit be with you today and throughout the week. Amen.